On the show today, we have Knowlton Group's Brewster Knowlton talking about business intelligence, analytics, digital transformation, and how they all tie together for credit unions. So check it out. Welcome to our show. On today's program, we have Mr. Brewster Knowlton. How are you, Brewster?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, we are talking business intelligence, analytics, digital transformation, and how it all ties together for credit unions today. So very interesting and very timely stuff indeed. So, I mean, we can go through the who, what, why, when, where, and how with this stuff big time.
Yeah.
So let's start with the top question here. Digital strategy and analytics strategy are two of the hottest topics right now, as it's in the headlines everywhere. So you believe that they're more intertwined than they are separate. So why is that?
Yeah, so I mean, most people think of them as two separate projects, two separate initiatives.
Yeah.
What we've kind of tend to realize, the more that we've kind of gone through the analytics side, we realize that the digital side ties in perfectly, in that to have success with digital, you first have to have success with analytics. Because if you can't, for example, figure out how your members are contacting you on a regular basis, which all comes from data, how they're using the different channels and the various processes to determine that UI, UX, understand the member experience and the member process throughout each of those different channels, unless you have the data to support that, you're just kind of, you know, throwing the darts blindfolded. So what we kind of realized was, if you want to have success with digital, you have to have success with analytics. Therefore, they're not so much tied together, but one is a direct byproduct of the other. We were working with one organization where they were looking at a bunch of different things, fee strategies, digital strategy, and we realized really quickly that it's opposed to being a completely separate silo, analytics and this idea of using data, that just is the foundation for it. So instead of trying to think of these as separate things, we're trying to get people to say, how can we align our two separate strategies into one that digital is really just a portion of that. It's an offshoot of what you're able to take advantage of with analytics. And for those organizations, that gives them a great starting point for where they want to start building their data warehouse or their analytics platform, whatever, because they've got a pretty clearly defined goal if they start focusing with digital.
Exactly. I think that's a really good point there, because a lot of people don't know where to start.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, it's totally. So what are some of the things that you wish all credit unions knew before getting started with data, with analytics?
Yeah,
trying to get that one out.
definitely an open-ended question, huh?
Yeah.
One of the big things, and actually talking with Naveen over at First Tech in preparation for the conference that they had back in March, which was really great, by the way. We were just having a conversation, and I asked him this question, and I had never thought of it so simply, the answer that he provided. And I asked him, I said, what are the three things that you think contributed to your success with analytics and how you guys have been able to do stuff? And what is that that you want to pass on to other credit unions? He goes, executive sponsorship.
Really?
And when you think about it, I've said this a number of times, it's not an if you build it, they will come solution.
Yeah.
So unless you have that support and that sponsorship from the top, it's never going to catch on. It's never going to be something that. So I guess to answer the question a little bit of roundabout way, I'm going to steal Naveen's answer and say it is all about getting the alignment and the executive sponsorship early on. It has to be top down, because you can do only so much from a grassroots perspective on this.
Yeah.
So if we can get that top down alignment and say, hey, we're getting on board. This is where we want to go. This is where we're taking the organization in the future, especially with, you know, the John Best of the world coming up with new fintech products every other, right? So we have to be creative. We have to have this new mentality about change is not necessarily a bad thing, but something that we want to embrace. And I think this is one of those points, and it all starts with that sponsorship.
That's
the big thing.
Totally agree with you. Now, data quality and data governance are two things that seem to hold credit unions back from getting started with analytics. So what do you think, or why do you think that is? And what would you say to those credit unions out there dealing with this?
So it's always the classic, you know, how many members do you have? Ask six different areas, you're going to get six different answers. The big thing that I see, though, is that people will say, oh, we have, you know, some bad data quality, right? We got 40 different applications, some talk to each other, some don't. Someone's address is, you know, ABC here, and then it's XYZ over here. We don't know which one's right. We have to focus on that first. And I get the rationale behind that to some extent. The challenge with that is we'll never not have data quality issues. As long as we have systems that allow users to put something in that aren't automatically entered with checked and validated data, we're always going to have data quality issues. Burgers and things like that are always going to create these. So I always tell people, you're always going to have those issues. So instead of trying to say, we're going to get to this state of perfection, which never going to happen, instead of getting to a state of perfection first, just set up a process that says, hey, we identified this data quality issue. Here are the steps that we're going to take to remediate this issue. Because I'm not here to say it's not important to a point we need to have accurate data. But there's some things that I see where it's like, if we're within 50, let's just say badass ascent. That's something I see a lot. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. Yeah, I think that those numbers add up. Right, a number of digits here. You know, if we see that, if we're seeing that a handful of times, is that really going to make the biggest difference in terms of, say, how we're leveraging analytics? If we're off by 50 members in a 100,000 member credit union, is it really? I mean, that's a rounding error for the purposes of forecasting and predictive modeling. So it's don't, what is it? Don't sacrifice great for perfect or better for perfect type of thing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm off with my cliches. I'm still in Puerto Rico.
That's okay.
As Tan suggests, I'm still getting back into it. But, you know, we have to get to a point that's, and it's tough because I don't want to say good enough, because I think there's a connotation to that that people aren't pretty happy about. But
Enough means a lot of things to a lot of different people,
Yeah, and just having that minimum viable product to say that, hey, we're good enough. That's not to say that we're deficient or it's poor. It's just to a state that now we can actually start using it. So that's a comment with data quality, is don't let it hold you back. And I've had a number of conversations where they say, you know, exactly that. I've got bad data quality. We got to address that first. You're always going to have it.
Right.
Get to a point, make some big, if there's some big issues, maybe you had a recent merger. So there's usually some things that come out of that. Yeah, address those. If you put this off for 18 months,
you're going to be behind.
And then over that course of 18 months, we're going to see another series of data quality issues, especially with some of these, you know, the mergers that are happening more and more. We don't want to put ourselves behind the eight ball. So embrace it, realize that we're never going to be perfect, and just the process to address it. So that's, and on the recent panel, actually, Clay Yearsley, I don't know if you've talked with him at Texas Trust.
I know Clay. Yeah. I don't think I've interviewed him though. Yeah. But I know who he is. Yeah.
He had a great, that was one of the questions I asked. I was moderating this panel and he just goes like this, just like shaking his head. So it's a common thing. There's a lot of people out there. So I would say just definitely ask questions. If you're an executive saying, how do I do this? Ask questions, because there's a number of people that have gone through this and they'll probably echo some variation of what I said.
Maybe
in a few less words, because I'm a rambler.
No, I like your perfection take on that, because if you're always waiting for perfection, you're going to be waiting for a very long time, because it's never going to come. So it's, even the most major companies on our planet never ship anything until it's, I mean, when it's perfect. And there's always something, even Apple, even Amazon, all these people, you know, they never, nothing is ever perfect. So if you're constantly waiting for perfection, you're going to be, you're going to be waiting for a long time, and people are going to pass you by.
Well, and I mean, Six Sigma isn't zero defects per million. It's six. So you have to have that degree of, all right, we can't be 100% perfect. Let's get to a point that's effective from a cost standpoint and from a resource standpoint, that's still going to allow us to be able to do things. I mean, most of the time, being 95% accurate is usually good enough for some. I mean, members balance. Okay. That can't be 95%.
It's got to be 100%.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But for some things, especially for some predictive modeling where there's some inherent assumptions, we can work with a little bit of a rounding error in some situations.
Very cool. Very cool. So what's the one thing you believe makes or breaks a credit union's ability to succeed with data analytics?
I already said executive sponsorship. Right. But I think the big thing is jumping in before they've really done the due diligence to say, where are we and where do we want to be?
Okay.
And I always harp on it. And naturally, I have a bias because I talk about strategy. So, of course, they're going to say, yeah, the strategy guy's going to talk about strategy. But I've had a number of conversations where it's, we just jumped into this and then it's, we bought this technology. Now, what do we do with it? Well, let's take that step back. And yes, there's a lot of great buzz about this. There's a lot of excitement. Let's take that step back and say, okay, here's where we are. Here's this full picture of what we're doing. Here's what our staff is doing. And that's got to be both a bottom up and a top down effort, because there's going to be a lot of things that the COO or the CFO thinks is just being done automatically. And the financial analyst is saying, no, I'm spending like 20 hours a week on this thing. So you have to have that and really understand where are we today.
Yeah.
And then have that full picture of where do we want to be? Because some products, and there's a lot, the On Approach is out there. There's another number of solutions out there, or then you could build your own.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever path you take, you have to understand where it is that you want to be and which product fulfills that best, as opposed to trying to pound a square peg into a round hole
mm-hmm.
when it's, well, we got this technology. Here's what it does. Let's hope it fits with what we want to do. Let's kind of take that back a step and give ourselves that picture and really set that blueprint into place. That's the one thing I see all too often. I'm as excited about this stuff as anybody, but we do have to pump the brakes sometime and say, here's where we are. Here's where we want to be. What should we do now,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just jumping into it? Yeah. I see that mistake a lot, and it's costly.
It can be indeed. So how do you suggest credit union executives cut through all the buzzwords and actually make real wins with their data? Because this is a huge problem right now.
Yeah, and it's tough because being embedded in this industry, it's, you know, big data and Internet of Things and mm-hmm. all this stuff.
Well, mm-hmm.
the recommendation I'll make is everyone's going to have varying definitions. So I might say big data is this, someone else, you know, Gartner might say it's this, and so-and-so may say it's this. Instead of focusing on the definitions of things that are more or less semantic arguments, identify a very specific set of wins. What is it that you want to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Not the, we want to be good with data. Okay, so does everybody. What is it exactly that you want to accomplish? And it can be as significant as we want 10% year-over-year loan growth. Okay. Little general, a little high level, mm-hmm. right? That's more of a perhaps a strategic KPI or a strategic objective, mm-hmm. but at least it's something.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be as simple as I want to automate this one report for this one staff so that instead of spending 10 hours a week manually doing some Excel VLOOKUPs and pulling from here and pulling from here and pulling from here and hoping it all works out, I just want to automate that. So I guess the recommendation I have is clearly define, and it goes back to the previous point about figuring out where it is that you want to be, but
yeah.
Clearly define just even 3, 4, 5, not a huge number of attainable things that you want to accomplish, because that's going to help drive how you actually roll out your platform.
Mm-hmm.
Look at who are some of the most influential people within your organization. I kind of treat this as if you want people to use this analytics platform and use what you're building, you want people to talk about it.
Yeah.
There's always that one person in an organization, in any company, I don't care if it's a 50-person company or a 50,000-person company. 500,000 is a little big.
That's a big company.
Yeah, that's a big company. There's always going to be that one person that everybody likes, that's friends with everybody. My suggestion, find that person, figure out what's driving them crazy with some operational process or something that you can alleviate through the use of data. That person will tell people.
Hmm.
And I talk about this idea of a flywheel effect, generating momentum, building some quick wins and some support early.
Yeah.
That's a great way. And just get that ball rolling so that eventually this thing's going to pick up. And then that sponsorship thing that comes into play, and then it starts to spread. It really does, you know, spread like wildfire, but it's not an if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my position on
you
got
to push it a little bit. I hear you.
You do.
All right. Hey, to wrap up here, talk to me about this idea of crawling, walking, and then running with analytics.
Yeah, and it I guess it all kind of goes back. We're just talking about similar stuff, but in different contexts, right? We have to have that plan of where we want to go, but we can't run before we walk, and we can't walk before we crawl.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked with so many organizations that are still doing Excel, living and dying by their Excel VLOOKUPs. And they say, well, we want to get into machine learning and big data. Well, we're like 5 or 6 critical steps between those two points.
Yeah.
So understand that timeline, that roadmap. And we conservatively estimate 18 to 36 months is a reasonable timeline for an organization to build out their investment and project horizon
mm-hmm.
For this type of stuff. So start by getting those quick wins. Look at where, and I use this example not trivially, look at where people are spending a lot of time manually building reports. Typically,
yep.
$750 million to $1.25 billion credit union, somewhere in that range,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find minimum of 5,000 hours, guaranteed.
Wow.
Yeah, guaranteed, because if you think about it, it's 10 hours here, 10 hours there. Yeah. That adds up.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to get to that point is going to be absolutely crucial. And then once you do that, you your analysts aren't spending time pulling data. They're actually analyzing it, which allows you to get to the walk phase, which is some of the more, I don't want to say advanced analytics, but some of the more forecasting and predictive modeling and the things like that. And then once you get to that point, you can take it into that run phase. Okay. So just really try to create those chunks and break this project down into phases. Even if you call it a V1, V2, V3, I don't even care. But it, as long as you segment it, and it also helps manage expectations. Because if you start talking about machine learning and then you give somebody, you know, a visualization, that visualization might have saved a lot of time. It might be really cool. But when you promised them the moon and you just gave them the top of a tree, I mean, you know, so we have that. So that's kind of where it is. It's just that crawl, walk, run. Just slowly build it, create your segments, create your phases properly, and just get to that point. Because you can't get there. It just takes the right steps.
Right. It's graduating to the next level and the next level and the next level. So, yeah, very cool.
You're not going from first grade straight to your sophomore year of college.
Nope. Not when it comes to this stuff.
Not me. I was still enjoying nap time.
There you go. Me too. I love nap time.
Yes.
Key. That is key. All right, man. All right, Brewster. Thank you so much for this information. Gosh, we could talk all day about this type of stuff. And we're going, I mean, as time progresses, we're going to be talking way more about this type of stuff. Because at the various conferences I've been to recently, it just seems like this is the top topic of conversation now. Whereas like 5 years ago, it was just like the folks in the IT department or, you know, the technology people, you know, I mean, or we're talking about this stuff. Now it's in every department and we're all living and dying and breathing by it. So it's a hot stuff right now, Brewster. So appreciate your time, man.
Yeah. And like I said, it's a topic that we're talking a lot of, and we want to make sure that we take the right steps and we don't just throw money at things that we don't want to throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. Exactly. We want this to really work. So, but it is fun. I enjoy it.
Very cool, Brewster. Well, thank you very much. Great message to end on. And let's get you back on when these things progress a little bit more, which might be in about 10 minutes or so. So
yeah. Give us about an hour.
Exactly. We'll have something new for you. Awesome. All right, Brewster. Thanks again, man. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, Mike.